That's how you do it?
That's how I do it.
I dig this. You know what? This is really awesome. I am really happy to be here with you. Megan, Megs, I'm super happy.
Oh man, I'm very happy too. I would love it if we just talk the whole time like it's a 90s instructional video for teens to get them excited about whatever it is we need them to do.
So we're gonna get them excited. Hey kids, guess what? Do you know where we are right now? We are in one of the premier dispensaries in Lower Manhattan. That's right. It's called Mighty Lucky. And you know what? When you get here, you're going to feel lucky.
You are. But also, my lawyer just texted me and just wanted me to clarify that when we said kids, we just mean like cool people. We actually don't mean like adolescents at all. They should not come here.
Oh, most definitely.
Unless you are of age.
Most definitely. And I just saw
that
the way...
That was just a lawyer disclaimer.
Dude, I just saw the way my voice jumped. I'm like, no!
Yeah, I know. No. Once you say lawyer, people are like, oh, I didn't do anything.
No! So listen, kids... 21 and over, that's who I'm talking to, all right? Listen, you know what this is called? This is called the Big Sale Sessions, and this is episode number one. And welcome back to the Big Sale Sessions, episode one. This is Ashby, and I got my good friend, my buddy, my confidant, Megs. Megs, what's going on?
Hey.
Oh my goodness. So what we're looking to do, we are looking to break the stigmas regarding the cannabis industry and culture as a whole. This is what we want to do. We want the average person, the average consumer, we want you to be able to walk into Mighty Lucky and know what you're talking about and feel confident, right?
Exactly. Because Adrian, I don't know about your history of buying weed in the past, but mine definitely did include the parking lot of McDonald's on many occasions when you would go to a car and you would give a handshake that was so obvious to everybody. It's like, why is everybody shaking hands in the parking lot of McDonald's? Like, it could have been worse.
Wait a minute.
But you took what you got.
Wait a minute. Wait, let me see this. Let me try this handshake. So it was
you had to go a little bit more because you had the money in the palm.
Right.
And then you slide and you do the switcheroo.
Yeah, but
it's like, it's
did
so
you say,
dumb.
Wait, the switcheroo?
You
did
the
switcheroo?
I did the switcheroo, but I wish I did now.
Wait a minute. Oh, my God. So, okay. You got it.
Yeah.
All right, brother. That's what I'm talking. Oh, yeah. I got that snap.
I like a good snap at the end.
That's what I'm talking about.
A lot of people don't love it, but, you know.
So, wait. Your first experience was that handshake.
Yeah.
In the parking lot, so that's
when
you started.
Yeah, well, I guess my brother gave
okay.
it to me, but then he's like, go figure it out yourself. It's like, I get it.
Wow.
You
so.
So I did.
You did.
It was
well,
in the parking lot of McDonald's.
Well, I figured it out by accident on the Q43 on the way home from Martin Van Buren High School.
Nice.
So, picture it.
That's a good president, right?
That was a
good... I don't think he really has too many, like, marks against him. I think people are like... Yeah, Van Buren.
I don't know. I think he might have been a shitty president. Who knows? But you know what? That high school is still next to what do I call this? A facility. Nice. It is next to a facility of people of low mental aptitude.
Okay.
I hope that's okay. I hope that's okay. Do you need to make that lawyer statement again?
I'm not sure any of
the
things you used were offensive.
Oh,
but
whew.
You know what?
Oh.
If lawyer does have any problems,
oh no,
we'll get a text.
Okay, we'll get the text. Lawyer, you know who you are. You'll let us know. So anyway, I'm on the bus on the way back from school. This is like junior year, so it's like 95. Everything is popping in the city. Rolling down Hillside Avenue, back of the bus, and I start to smell like, what is this? Like, what is happening right now? And it is like hot boxing already in the back. Like, my man is in the back corner chiefing his brains out. I guess he had a stressful day with the Pythagorean theorem or something.
Hard.
It is hard. A square, B square, C square, and something happens.
Now apply it to life.
Welcome to the bake sale sessions. This is how I applied the Pythagorean theorem. All right. So he's chiefing, and everything is turning foggy. And I'm breathing normally, because I'm just like, okay, what's the worst? I got to get home. I'm whatever. So we get to Francis Lewis Boulevard. It's like not even 10 minutes into the ride. The bus driver's like, over the microphone, y'all want to smoke on my bus? Y'all want to smoke on my bus? That's it. This bus is out of order. Everybody off my bus. Get out of here. Everybody out. So we get out of the bus, and I'm like, I feel funny. So I get a quarter, call home. I'm like, Grandma, you're never going to believe this. I'm on Francis Lewis Boulevard, and the bus just left. And she's like, Edie, what happened to the bus? What's going on? I wonder, what happened? Why are you there? I said, you'll never believe it. Somebody was smoking. We got kicked off the bus, this, that, and the other, blah, blah, blah. She's like, don't worry about it. Take your time and get home safe. I love you. Bye-bye. And that was it. I was like, whoa, I'm in the clear. Oh, my gosh. So I was coasting. What are you thinking?
No.
Okay.
No, I like what's happening here.
So I'm coasting.
I'm loving the grandma voice, too.
Oh, yeah. We're from Barbados, so she was, God rest her soul, mwah. She was a sweetheart. But she was like, it is what it is. So I'm on the next bus coasting, just enjoying the ride. The walk back home, not so much, because I had to walk up a hill.
Yeah.
And this is real 90s talk right here.
You're just like, wow.
I had to walk up a hill.
For no reason.
I'm tired. So I get home, and my grandma's like, Edie, why are your eyes so red? I was like, I told you. She's like, oh my God. Listen, she's like, sit down and relax yourself. So I sat down for a little bit, and I'm like, wow, I feel really relaxed, but I'm really hungry. So then, like, I get a glass of water, two-hand that sucker, and I'm like, oh, my God. So then I proceed to do all my homework, and it was done perfectly with the best attitude ever. And I was like, what is this?
I should smoke on my way home from school all the time.
I was like, what is this?
I'm like an upstanding citizen now.
Oh, my God.
I have time for volunteering because, wow, all of a sudden, I'm on top of everything. Who are you?
And wait a minute.
This would make me a better person.
Megs, wait a minute. The best part is this. I woke up the next day, felt no pain, and I'm like 16.
Yeah.
Now, fast forward to New Year's Eve. I down like a third of a bottle of champagne.
Boo.
Because proceed.
16-year-olds with that much champagne.
I'm like, this tastes great. It's fine. It's bubbly. What's the worst that could happen?
Nothing good can happen.
What's the worst that can happen? So then I proceed to watch the Def Comedy Jam and pass out. And then the next day, New Year's Day, my head is like, bum. And my grandmother was like, you see, that's what you get, boy. Now you learn your lesson. I was like, I sure did, Grandma. Yeah. So compare and contrast. Wow. There it is, people. See, I said people.
People.
I said people.
There you go, people.
There it is, people.
I love that Grandma was like, all right, I couldn't stop him from smoking weed, but I think I could stop him from drinking. All right, I feel good. I got one of those under my belt.
Well, in junior high school, my grandma, on those cold winter days on the walk home from school, the cap full of Hennessy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. That really set me up, you know, for some good times, too.
Because
I was like, wow, Grandma, I feel really warm. She said, that means it's working. So now you don't feel cold now. Now go do your homework. And I was like, okay, 65. But I get hotboxed on a bus. Hundreds.
Yeah.
So there you go. So what was your story, Megs?
My first getting stoned moment. I have older brothers.
Uh-oh.
No, this is good. Well, one's 4 years old, the other one's 6 years older. And the one, he let me hang out with him and his friends. And so they would be driving around and they would be smoking, but I wasn't smoking. I was like, no, I'm too young. to be doing that.
You were catching residuals. You were catching residuals in the hot box, and you didn't even know it.
Yeah, I was like 15 driving around, and then I was like 16. Then one day I was like, you know what? Give that over. And they're all like,
they're like, yes. Oh, wait, the record didn't scratch?
No, they were excited. Come on.
What?
They're also teenagers.
Everybody
in this situation is irresponsible. So it's okay because nobody knows any better.
That is true.
Yeah, so then it's like all of a sudden I was like, why don't I feel my legs and my arms? What is this? And then I looked at them and I was like, am I not supposed to be able to feel my body? And they were like, she's high. All right, well, that's really great. But I have to go to the bathroom. So we went to a diner that was nearby, and I went on in, and I remember when I asked them where the bathroom was,
right.
I screamed it, because I didn't understand how my voice worked.
Wait, what?
Level. See? And across the room, I'm like, excuse me, where is the bathroom? And the guy just looked at me and laughed, and he was like, oh, over there. Because you know what? Yeah, seeing a 16-year-old stoned is funny.
Oh my God.
That's everybody doing their good Samaritan work, then. It's like, all right, we'll take care of her. She's one of us.
So wait a minute. How did you survive the diner?
No, then I just went back into the car. We didn't stay in the diner. No, I just...
Oh my God, that was a smart move.
Yeah. Because then I felt like I was going to pee myself. Because I didn't understand how my body worked.
What?
There was a chance. Yeah.
Wait a minute, what?
Well, 16 is already a complicated age, Adrian. Now make that
Megs,
stone.
I get it. Oh my gosh. So we really had some good times getting started with this plan.
Yeah, and you know what? I was on the other end of Hillside Avenue in NASA, so you were in Hillside and Queens.
That's right.
And I was just down the road doing the same thing.
Dude.
Isn't that fun?
The universe is a funny mistress.
Anything can happen on Hillside Avenue.
You got that right, my friend. Oh my goodness. And you know what? I cannot believe that we just got through our first 12 minutes, dude. This is monumental. You know what? I think you know what we deserve? We deserve a little smoky break.
Yes, we do deserve that.
So, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take a little smoky smoke break, and we are going to be right back. And we're back. Oh, my goodness. We are back. We are back.
We are back.
So, what we just partook in was something very special, and it is a brand that is currently at the Mighty Lucky Studios here at located at 263 Bowery. 259 Bowery. 259 Bowery. See, this is the beauty of all this software, because somehow I'm going to end up cutting that out, hopefully, because after what we just partook in, we're going to find out if I remember to do this. It's called Flores Farms. And it's la-di-da-di.
And it does make you feel a little la-di-da-di, as you can see us trying to get through that address. We can read it backwards through the window. And you know what? That's not a skill we have at the moment. So
if
you're
my God.
Looking for something that wants you to read things backwards, this one might be a little cautious.
Dude, I didn't even look up. I didn't even look up. Oh my God. It's 259 Bowery. The Mighty Lucky Studios is the place to be. We just took down some Flores Farms, la-di-da-di, 22% sativa. It is unreal. It is out of this world. It is top tier. I am feeling energetic. My brain synapses are firing on all cylinders, and I'm ready to rock on for another 12 minutes, maybe. What do you think?
Yeah, I could do another 12 minutes. That sounds like a good time.
It sounds like a good time.
Yeah.
So wait a minute. So now look, this is really fun because this is what is known to be, in my mind, blueberry super boof. Because we tried to record this remotely.
We sure did.
And you brought up a show that you were watching at the time. And you said something really, really poignant. See, I said a big word. I said poignant.
Poignant.
I got great scores on my English SATs, baby.
I didn't. I'm not good with standardized tests. I think I'm doing something wrong. I also am starting to be convinced, not to make this into a conspiracy about my standardized test past results.
Oh,
because am I gonna let it go?
I'm here for it.
Could I studied more, maybe applied myself better? Sure. I also have an apostrophe in my name, and it messes up systems.
No, it doesn't.
Apostrophes do. I thank God I can actually check in before going to airports now, because I used to get flagged all the time.
Really?
Yeah, because they get confused. I don't know.
Wow.
So I think my apostrophe has done things to the system, because there's no way my scores are that bad. I'm smart. I know I am.
There are so many things to unpack right there, Megs, and I'm going to try my best to retain it all, because we're going to double back, and we're going to go back to the fact that...
Oh, yeah. Where did I just see? This is how good Lottie died. Because you are going to really just explore.
Oh, we're going to explore. Yeah. And I'm going to bring it back. Because what you said that was so poignant. No, it's all good, Meg. It's give and takes, Megs. Because one day you're going to have to do that for me. But right now... It's all good. It's easy. We're good. We got this.
This is the beginning of my hero origin story.
That's
one
right.
One day, you will have to stand up.
In a dispensary not too far away. A young, attractive woman takes on an entire platform. Megs.
Thank God she's attractive.
What? Oh my God. Oh, sweet Jesus. Oh my God.
People don't want to watch ugly.
The misogyny was a little too strong with me, people, and I apologize for that. And I am terribly sorry about that. That is out of character, and that is not me. Now back to our regularly scheduled programming. So I said something poignant, and you had said something poignant, and it was about a show that you were watching regarding recording a podcast.
Yeah.
And you were like, I was watching this show, and the two characters were like, did you hit record? Did you hit record? And I was like, yo, I hit record, dude. Like, I'm seeing, waves and voices moving and everything. We got this, dude. Yeah. So then you start talking. And it's flatline, baby. It is flatline. And I'm, trying to figure this out. Wait, what's going on here? And I'm like, I'm torn, because the conversation was so good. It was so good that I was like, this first episode really is a lost tape. It really is a lost tape. And the conversation was so good. I was so torn. I was like, I'm just going to keep going. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to use my superpower, my tank, my inner tank, my inner Frank the Tank. And I'm going to retain everything that was discussed in that conversation. So long story short, I hit record, but somehow still messed it up because I didn't get the interfaces right. So when I got these microphones, I was nervous as all heck. And when I tested it, I felt like Clark Griswold in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. You know, when he plugged it in and everything was like, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's how I felt.
It's a hallelujah moment.
It is.
Adrian, I have a question for you.
What's up?
What if the reason my voice didn't pick up on the recording is because I'm not here and I'm a ghost?
What? What? Oh my God, what? Dude, what are you...
If when you're listening back to this later and I am not there... Now
what?
You know. Wouldn't it be so messed up?
That would be the most messed up
doing
thing.
That to people?
That would be so messed up. That's like not even Impractical Jokers deals.
That's what rich people with no hobbies do.
I know. That is that's something that, what was the story?
That'd be a really fun show to watch.
I know, but
not to do in real life. Because everybody has so much going on, right?
What do you mean everybody has so much going on? Dude.
Just the world.
I know the world has a lot going on,
just
but...
Just have to be aware of what we're living through right now.
No, I get it. But I still want to watch Deal or No Deal Island.
Yeah.
Because there's actually some people that I know on that show.
Oh, we're going to get more reality shows and more game shows in the next few years.
Dude, did you know that I was on a game show?
You were?
Yes, I was, dude.
Which one?
It was called We Are Family. So it was hysterical. And it was good, but somehow it didn't get picked up for a second season.
Oh.
But it was hysterical. But it's like a couple of the folks from that show, a couple went to the Deal or No Deal Island. One young lady, she's going to be on The Bachelor. I can't wait to watch that.
She's doing the circuit. I like that for those people, though, because you know what? That's the thing that they want to do. They want to go on all the game shows. Then they want to do the reality shows.
Oh, my God.
It is. That is their thing. They're putting their effort into it. Awesome. Go for it.
No, that's fine.
I'd love to go on a game show, though. That would be fun.
Oh, my God. Game shows.
But just probably like one.
Game shows are stressful.
Yeah.
And the auditions.
Watching it at home.
No, but the auditions are stressful too.
Yeah.
Because you got to be on and super happy.
Yeah.
And oh, you know what? I'm just gonna let it out right now. You better not say that you are taking that money and paying bills.
No.
You ain't paying bills. You don't be responsible.
No.
Okay? Don't be responsible. Buy that car. Start some weird business you want to start. Buy a studio, but just don't pay bills.
No.
Do not pay student loans off. Because you're like, out of there.
Do not be practical.
Don't be practical, but you got to be on, and then they get you to play the game and stuff like that.
I couldn't keep up with that because I went out for Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Uh-huh.
No, I could not be on. I was very focused. This was like, I wanted this money to pay off my bills, you know? But my friend did get picked because she's really good at being on all the time.
No, you know.
She's like somebody you want to take to a restaurant with you because she talks to the server so much that they send over free dessert.
Oh, that's me.
And then so you two would get along.
Dude,
right?
You know what the you know what the secret is, right? This is the secret.
It sounds exhausting.
It's not exhausting, dude. All you got to do, say their name.
Oh, yeah.
And if you worked in food services.
I did.
I did.
Well, still.
So,
dude, I have 20 years.
So you, I have 4, college. But you understand it, you get it, and you're like, you dig it. So you got it, and I watched the movie Waiting.
Yeah.
Don't mess with people that are handling your food.
Yeah.
Okay? That's pretty much it. Watch Waiting, starring Ryan Reynolds. Great movie, especially after you have some la-di-da-di.
Yeah.
And learn a few lessons. But you know what? I hear you. That's not one of your goals. But you know what?
Yeah, I'll just pay for the dessert.
But I do. But I do.
I'm okay just paying for the thing. And then I'll just say goodbye on the way out.
But I do.
And we're like secret friends on the side. Me and the servers. It's like we all respect each other. We all say hi. But we don't need to have little conversations.
Dude, but I
also respected that when I was on the other side, too. I was like, I like that person.
Oh, my God. But I totally get why you don't want to do it, but I could see you on one of those like password pyramid shows where you got to guess stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, if you put me on the show, I'll smile the whole time and I'll be on. But
with the audition
in the audition
Zoom?
Waiting room, don't
on
you
Zoom?
Treat me like I'm like an experiment here. You guys are staring at me.
Dude.
I actually went out for this is fun. It was I was a fake person brought in for an audition. It was, they lost a lot of the footage, so
right.
It never made the air. But it was to be something like the next best personal trainer.
Oh.
So
right.
I came in, like, this is where improv and comedy background come in. Like,
whoop,
I came
whoop.
In with a whole routine to Aha's take on
yes
me.
Yes, and baby.
It was insane. And they, but I really was on, and the judges were so nice to me. They're like, we love your personality. They complimented me so much because they felt bad that they were they had to tell me no.
Right.
I then was like, can we group hug? This was just such a great experience.
Aww.
I got them all to come in and group hug. Like the whole thing. I leave the people on the crew that knew I was the fake. The judges didn't know I was fake.
Right.
They thought I was this real person. Like they did not know what was wrong with me. And I leave and everyone on the crew was like giving me thumbs up. They're like,
what?
Perfect. I'm so mad I don't have that footage.
Dude, you got thumbs up from the crew?
Yeah, everybody that was in on it was
dude.
Like, that was exactly what we wanted. My friend, who was also supposed to do the same thing, failed because she got picked. They picked her to go to the next round. And all of us were like, you were supposed to be back. The instructions instructions were fail.
Oh my God.
You failed at failing.
So.
And that is because she's a perfectionist. So I love her. She's a perfectionist.
So wait a minute. Now yeah. we just finished talking about what your goal is not to be. You don't want to be on a game show, and you don't want to be that person in the restaurant.
Show,
but I know you have other goals. I know you have other goals. And I know that the people want to know, what goals do you have for yourself when it comes to getting something out of this pod?
Yeah. Well, okay, so I've decided that I want to look into, like, growing at home.
Oh, you want a home grow?
Yeah.
Nice.
Because I do have a lot of plants. I have gotten, like, in the beginning I was not responsible. My brother and my dad, like, they're so good with it. And so they, like, really focused and taught me over the years. Now my apartment is like a jungle. I love it. I want to feel like I'm sleeping outside. That's how many plants I have.
What?
Not in my room, because I think there's like a, some people say it's bad to put plants in the room, and I just don't feel like looking up that information yet. You know? So anyway, with some days I'm just like frustrated, like if I'm like running low, like I'm still going to go to the stores, but I also want to take responsibility in knowing like how to grow it. And
right.
The care that goes into it, because as I'm getting older, I'm doing this with my food as well. Anything that I consume, I want to know where it's coming from, how, and like the whole process behind it.
Right.
Because it's like, we don't know what's going into things.
Got it.
And like, we're learning
right
now some stuff. But like, especially like food, like so much like processing, you know?
Like, what was I know there was something else. Like, let's say, here we go. If we were to get, like, some massive, like, deal or something out of this.
We got a massive deal. That's
what
great.
Would be the first thing that you would do with your newfound wealth?
Well, you're really going to love this. I really love chickens.
What?
Are
you serious?
Yeah. I want chickens.
Oh my God. So wait, where are you going to put these chickens, dude?
Great question. I'm going to figure that out.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
She's going to figure it out.
I say you have a dream first and then you figure it out. You don't figure out the place and then you have the dream. Like, what am I going to do to land and go, hey, why did I buy this land? Oh, what's my dream now? So now I'm just going to waste money. No, you're going to get the dream and then everything else will fall into place.
Whoa, that is the sound of Meg's putting me in checkmate.
Yeah.
Checkmate, everybody. I hope you're happy. I hope you're happy. If you are, please subscribe.
I'm just going to be over here with my weed cannabis, or what are we calling it? Cannabis, weed, like my plant.
Yeah, your plant.
I'm over here with my plant that I grow, and I got my eggs from my chicken.
So you're like basically...
We don't need the chickens around here. I outsource on that.
So you're basically looking for like what, a vacant lot or something?
Am I?
I don't know. Do you want to do like some sort of community garden deal or something or what?
I mean, there's community gardens all over the place. We could always use more, but, you know.
So you want to do like a farm or something like...
Imagine having a farm. That would be so great.
All right. Okay. So I like that.
But I realize how much I love the city. So, you know, it's like, there's got to be like an in-between. I like the fact that I can walk around the block and go to the store if I need to.
Okay.
I don't have to get a car.
So we're going
to
do... We're gonna
it
get,
has to be like more environmentally friendly.
No, we're going
to
get that community garden.
Yeah.
We're going to make that happen. Mm-hmm. So listen, everybody. Help us get this massive deal so Megs can get this community garden with the chickens. Okay? And I'm guessing you're growing vegetables and you're growing flowers. You're doing it up.
Yeah. If anybody's wondering, I am really single. Okay?
What?
Exactly. What? People who have been single for a very long time talk about. We talk about chickens.
What?
We're setting up community gardens.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
No,
I became so environmentally friendly after my last breakup. It was amazing. And then the pandemic hit and I was like, you know what? I'm good. I'm gonna focus on me for a while.
Oh my God.
And you know what? She's great. Well, because at the it's like when you see who's winning the breakup, like he was like really getting into yoga and all that stuff, and I was like, oh, fuck no. He's not going to win the breakup. So I just really became super environmentally friendly all around and got really into learning more
Oh my
about things.
gosh. People, you just
Good
witnessed.
things come from breakups.
Wow, you just witnessed a full on Costanzaning. Our friend Megs ended the breakup. You ended it with hand. You had the hand.
I had the hand?
Yeah, because you're environmentally friendly and conscious and all that good stuff. You're doing something for the planet. He's just doing something for his chakras. Okay? That's the sound of me not putting you in checkmate.
No, you're not putting me in checkmate.
No!
You're also gonna really love
hey.
This one. I think you're gonna love this one too, because I love that you brought the chakras up. He, after we broke up, we were hanging out at one point because he needed like emotional support.
Wait, what?
And I was done. So I was like, okay. So we went to go get his chakra photo taken. Have you ever seen that? Like, I would love to do that because I feel like mine's going to be beautiful. He came back and he was really sad. He was like, I'm going to go get my chakra photo taken and then I'll come on over. And I was like, okay. He's also a musician. Should I add that?
Oh, my God.
I know you're also, and a librarian.
What? Oh my God!
Those are like,
oh my God!
This kind of helps the story. You need more details in this.
Oh my God!
With his shoulder.
Yeah. Oh
la di da, la di da.
Oh my God!
So he comes on over with the shopper photo, and he looked real sad, and I was like, "So the photo didn't go well, did it?" And he was like, "It's all red," and I was like, "Yeah," because you're like very negative. Like,
wait,
what? You know how nice it is to be right because somebody goes to get a
photo?
You can't. I win.
No, wait a minute.
Everything I have now said in the past.
Oh my God. Do we now realize what
justified
level?
Justified in a chakra photo.
Do you know what level you have just attained, Megs? Megs, I have to tell you what level. You've just reached a new level. The level that you have attained is now Larry David. Because now when I picture this man getting his chakra photo handed back to him and realizing that he broke up with our Megs for yoga and his chakra photo comes back all red, all I hear is dun 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 dun. That's all I hear. That's it. Like, you have just, you had an entire sitcom season with this person.
Yeah, I did.
We're going to learn more about that. We're going to learn more about that, but we are just going to take a quick breaky break, because some things are wearing off, and we need to climb just a little bit higher. We'll be right back. Hold on now. And we are back. We were just finishing up talking about Meg's goals.
Yeah.
And we talked about...
We talked a lot about goals and other stuff.
Goals and other stuff. Goals and other stuff. What did you say we were? We were two dummies on a couch?
Oh, yeah. That is what we are.
We're two dummies on a couch.
You see, it's like when I think of two dummies on a couch, that's what I think of. Like, when we were in like high school, smoking our friend's house, like hanging out on the couch, like, laughing about like how the fabric felt, or like what like a t-shirt looked like in a certain light.
Oh my God.
Why is this thing so stupid? But it was like simpler times. I mean, you asked really dumb questions that really were insightful. And like, this question is so dumb, but it actually does make a point.
Oh my God.
And that point, you would figure out the next day when you're like, let me go back to my notes.
You took notes?
I didn't keep good notes. I wrote down words.
Wow.
And then I would write down, I tried to write down words. When you read it back, it was very scribbled.
What?
But when I was writing it, I was convinced that I was like, okay, this is good writing. And then I would write somebody's name next to it. It'd be like, ask Carrie or ask Mary. And they're not going to know what that word meant. They didn't know.
Oh my God. So that's not your that's not your Frank the Tank superpower.
No.
What is your, superpower when you're, really, Yeah, like I know everybody has something that they're like super good at, and it's like, are you good at like pulling things together or whatever? Because you're what, a bartender or something like that?
I was for a long time, yeah. I don't know, I'm good at a lot of stuff. I'm helpful.
You're helpful.
Yeah, I'm good to have in bad situations.
Oh, yeah. So there's like multiple parts to you. So
yeah.
It's like what? I remember that show from the 90s. What was it? Herman's Head.
Oh,
it had like
yeah.
the different. So that's you, basically?
You know, I'd have to revisit Herman's
Or Inside
Head
Out?
Oh, that like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. I get those movies. They're fun. Because it's like, there are different people pulling the plugs up there, right?
People pulling the plugs up there. I like that.
Yeah, they're pulling the plugs. I guess that's not right. But I think we all know what I mean.
Yeah, we know.
La-di-da-dee.
Thank you, Flores Farms.
Flores
oh, my
Farms.
Goodness. Listen, so I want to let you know, I think I told you what my Frank the Tank superpower is. Retaining
yeah.
the night. So when I was in college, I would always try to make sure I retained the night, no matter how wasted or smashed I was. So I would be able to remember and recall everything that happened. I'd have, like, bullet points. You did this, you did that at that time, you were over there when that happened, and go through the whole night.
Yikes. Did everybody ask to hear this? Or do you just go, sit down?
Oh, I would be like...
And I shall recount
oh,
the night.
If you could see me right now, here at 259 Bowery, Mighty Lucky, the dispensary and studio space, I'm sitting in this plush chair at a desk, leg crossed and ready to tell a tale. And I would do that every Sunday morning. I would be like, yo, let's go through the notes, baby. Let's do this. So.
I'd be really nervous, actually.
Oh, no.
Anxiety.
Everybody was nervous because I remembered everything. Because
yeah.
I was like, yo, I'm not getting in trouble for nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody. And this
you,
was the 90s.
You know the parts of your life where you're like, I should have been like a little bit more responsible. It's
mm-hmm.
usually when you're like, I hope I don't receive a text from anybody the next day having to apologize.
Exactly.
And then
never.
That's when you should be like, well, why am I waking up feeling that way? But then you do it for another 10, 15 years.
There it is. And I never wanted to be that dude.
No.
Because my old roommate always was that dude.
Wow, man.
There was always something that happened when I was never around, do my own thing. I find out, like, when I get back to the apartment, they're like, I was like, wait, how did this happen? I was only gone for 2 hours.
Yeah, a lot can happen in 2 hours.
Taking care of business.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. Getting sandwiches.
Oh, yeah. Getting sandwiches. Hey. Hey-oh. Now, I know that we all have our goals, and I was piggybacking off of one of your goals,
mm-hmm.
making it sure that, like, we, the two of us, dummies on a couch, and all the listeners out there are educated and they are comfortable and they are confident walking into a dispensary
mm-hmm.
to receive, I don't even know if I should, is it care? Receive the care that they need, that they're looking for, if they are looking to feel a particular way or to alleviate some sort of discomfort or whatever. Feel comfortable and feel confident going into any one of the dispensaries in the New York City area
yeah.
without any reservations. You know, that's one of the things I want to do too. And I love learning how to home grow. I'm piggybacking off of you again. Having my own plant to take care of
yeah.
and growing something, I think it's really therapeutic. And we're going to need to be therapeutic over the course of the next few years. We're not going to get into that, but we are going to leave that out there.
It's good to focus on the positive.
There it is.
Because there are still good things that are happening.
That's right.
And there always will be.
And,
and there's always going to be bad.
Exactly.
So.
And that was called Low-Hanging Fruit, brought to you by Megan O'Malley.
Yep.
Comedy writer extraordinaire.
Sometimes people think it's depressing, but
no.
Later come to terms and
that's right. So I wanna be
come back.
So, like, I want to be able to be confident to get into, walk into a dispensary,
yeah.
have people educated, break stigmas, all that, learn how to home grow.
Yeah, because it can be, like, confusing, like, when you first walk in, especially, like, if you're not used to this environment.
Exactly.
You know?
And one of the other things that I'm really focused in on is, like, really becoming a part of the community
mm-hmm.
and being, you know, a champion of the community and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that has value for me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not doing this. I mean, I am doing it for fun. I am doing it, you know, obviously to notoriety or whatever. But really, I want to be involved. I want to do good.
Yeah.
And I want to be a part of something bigger than myself and all that other jazz.
That's nice.
Thank you so much.
Nice.
Oh,
nice.
If you could see Meg's smiling right now. Oh my goodness, she is.
She does smile.
She smiles. She wants her own community garden. She wants chickens.
She's a very happy person. There's just so
much
to do.
She's so happy.
I am
even
that
though,
person.
Even though she's single, even though she is happy.
I know. Can you believe it?
And I can't believe it. I really can't. And by the end of this year, she's gonna have a Hallmark movie moment, and she's gonna move to a small town.
There I go. In my little tiny house.
We're from the big city.
Nice plot.
With a lumberjack.
Whoa.
Whoa.
You know, moving with lumberjack would be very beneficial. I think that that's like, yeah, I don't think, if I'm going to move to the woods, I don't think I want to move with somebody that's not going to be useful at all. Like, what, am I going to have to teach you how to do everything out here? I need somebody to come, like, meeting me halfway. Like, we're coming in as a team.
Oh, I like this.
Right?
Now, you know what else, I want to do? You know what else I want to do? This involves the both of us.
Whoa.
What do you mean, whoa?
Whoa.
This involves both of us.
Love Blossom.
No. Whoa.
I know. Sometimes you catch yourself and you're like, yeah, there's a reason I do say it that way, isn't it?
Whoa. Thanks, Joey Lawrence. Thank you so much. But I want our own strain.
Whoa. That is...
That's lofty. That is lofty.
That's cool.
That's lofty.
That's a cool goal. I like
Thank
that.
You.
Yeah.
Well, it's cool goals for cool people.
Right? But also, it's kind of badass to walk up with, like, your strain to, like, a group and be like, hey, guys.
Hey, guys.
You want to smoke my strain?
Bam. you ever play Uno?
Yeah.
Uno. How do you feel when you slap that draw four down?
God, We got vicious in my family. Family game night in my family was no joke. Like, it had to stop. Like, I was in for, like, the fights. But,
right?
Yeah, no, like,
but
Uno Grandma was the one to watch out for.
Please,
she really threw it down.
I need to know this one thing, though. And all the listeners out there, please, turn up your volume, okay? And take a nice pull, because I'm going to ask a very important question. Megan... Do you play Uno the right way?
Wow, that's a great question.
Oh boy, this is not going to be good, people.
I guess we read the rules.
Oh, no,
and,
No.
Also, here's the thing. I was a kid, so I was playing when I was like five, so I just played by the rules that were told to me. So I just assumed that somebody else read them at one point. I haven't played in years, so I would definitely need a refresher.
Well, I'm going to give you a refresher, Meg. I got a
like
refresher.
You're about to school me in Uno.
Oh.
And you know what? That makes me want to go buy books on Uno now. That's the thing. This is what happens.
Do you see how petty she is?
Yeah, I use
this
education as a weapon.
This, my friends, is a part of her charm.
Oh,
this is a part of her charm, y'all. Okay, this is where we get you. Have you heard of stacking?
No, but again, I haven't played in a while.
So, basically, it's like this. We're four people, right? I put down a draw four,
mm-hmm.
and you have a draw four. You put it down. Now, that person that's next to you has to draw eight. And if they don't have a draw four, well, sucks to be them.
I don't think we played that rule, but that rule, that's a fun.
Oh, you heard it here first. Yes.
No,
stacking.
I think with those rules, if it's agreed upon the table, Then anything goes in Uno as long as the rules are all agreed upon.
I love that. Yes.
But I do think that, like, because Uno, like dominoes, gets very serious, very intense. So I think there always should be house rules on hand.
Excellent. Yeah. So I love that. Slapping down your string like you're playing Uno. This is awesome. But now we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back, everybody.
Check, baby, 1, 2.
Yes.
Check, baby, 1, 2, 3.
And we are back, and we just are so happy to be able to talk to one of the co-owners of the Mighty Lucky Dispensary and Studio Space. They are so gracious to host...
Two dummies on my couch.
Exactly. The Baked Sales Sessions, Mr. Bo Aluli.
You got it right.
I got it right.
You nailed it.
Woo!
It's not an easy one, but yeah.
Bo Aluli, how do you do?
I'm doing well.
Oh my goodness, and I want to know, Megs wants to know, the people want to know, what is your story?
Oh, well, that's, let's condense it.
Condensed, abridged version.
Yeah.
For maybe the next maybe 10 minutes.
Okay, I can be wordy, but I'll give it to you just in sort of a broad stroke, and then we can dig in to where things turned in different directions. Basically, I'm a small-town southern boy from Louisiana.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Wasn't also good on my SATs either. I just, camaraderie here. So I wasn't a great student, but I love the act
don't
of being.
Look at me like that.
I love the act of being
in
school.
Because you did a slow motion spin over to me. So that look was brought out by that spin.
Yeah, the viewers couldn't see that, but we did.
Yeah, so sorry to interrupt. story of a southern boy.
Yeah. So basically, fast forward to when I smoked weed. I think that's the key, right? It was 1990. I was 15 years old.
Such a good time.
I was going to the first Lollapalooza. I don't know if you even remember that shit, right? So first Lollapalooza. And I was, a little Catholic boy who was pretty, good. I, drank a little bit and whatnot and had decided that I was not going to smoke marijuana because people did that and they looked like, they were, whatever. We were in the Just Say No era.
I learned this by watching you.
Exactly.
I learned this by watching you, Dad.
And your brain on drugs, the fried eggs.
Oh,
remember this one?
The
fried eggs.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, so that was my introduction to cannabis, was standing next to a guy who passed me this huge brownie that I didn't, I had no understanding of the difference between eating weed, smoking weed, anything, whatever. So he hands me this huge brownie, and I'm chewing down on it.
Oh, no.
And I'm pulling out this big stem, and seeds are popping.
No.
Like, they just dumped it in the brownie mix.
Oh, no, they didn't even have the decency to pick
trim,
it apart.
Nothing. So then he passes me this little bowl, and I smoke this. And I had somewhat of a religious experience.
Oh,
I wouldn't
God.
Say...
Well, of course you did, dude.
Red Hot Chili Peppers were coming on.
And
everything from that moment on was kind of like a Dolly painting. Everything was just melting, including myself.
Like,
and
how much was in this brownie?
Oh, I have no idea.
God.
It probably was like 400 milligrams, who knows?
So your first experience was a greenout.
It was a total greenout. Total greenout. And I told everybody forward, because my friends didn't eat the brownie or smoke that night, and they saw me and they were like, oh my God, it was that has got to be the worst thing ever. We are never doing drugs.
Were your eyes as red as that sweatshirt?
I mean, I got sick. I got I was throwing up sick. I was like, take me to the car sick. Like, last thing I remember was the Red Hot Chili Peppers coming on. And beyond that, it was just a total blur. So it wasn't the best experience, I'll say, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
So how did you turn that experience into all of this?
Well, I gave cannabis another try probably about a year later, and my cousin actually, he rolled me this little pinner joint, and I smoked that, and that is when the sort of lights went on that this was my thing. And
uh-huh.
I think I probably, even in those days, suffered from a little bit of anxiety, and just smoking that just made me feel more like myself, and it was
copy
something
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, from that, you know, it was something that I always had with me, and because of the way it affected me, it was something I always wanted to share with people, especially people who hadn't gotten high before.
Of course.
So I was like, oh, have you ever smoked weed? I'm like, no. I'm like, oh, we're going to do this. We're going to do this together. We're going to do this right now. So I was kind of the person who went around always getting other people high. So it is no mystery. If you look back, people who knew me when I was 15 to 18, and you said, this guy owns a dispensary, they would be like, that totally, totally checks out 100%.
Wow. That is amazing that you turned.
Yeah, we all know that person. We've all met you.
Yeah.
In like different, like, such a good person in the community.
We're going to circle back because you took that experience and turned it into this positive.
Yeah.
Isn't that right, Megs?
Yeah. It's all about positive.
That's right.
Finding it.
We salute you.
Well, I appreciate it.
And you should salute me. For bringing it back.
I salute you.
Oh, see, thank you so much. This is what I'm talking about, people. This is what I'm talking about right here.
Serving the community.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
There are mothers right now telling their children about you.
Exactly.
And one day they hope.
Oh, my. Wow. She is just too much. But you know what? We got to make it back. We got to make it back because you turned that experience into this.
Yeah, well, I think part of it was, too, is I early on, right when I started college, I understood very quickly the economics of cannabis.
Right.
You know, you go to the guy's house. If you wanted to buy an eighth, it was that price. If you wanted to buy an ounce, it's that price. If you want to buy a QP, it's that price. Okay, so it gets less when you buy more.
Mm-hmm.
I have friends that want it.
Right.
I'll just go and get more, and then, you know, simple economy out of that. And I started selling weed in college and started growing my own plants in my, you know, but I wasn't selling from my own plants. It was more just like passion project because, again,
right.
I was so, you know, curious, I guess, about all aspects of cannabis. So then moved to New York from Louisiana, 2000. So I've been here for about 25 years.
Nice.
And got into some financial difficulties along the way of moving here. I was going to do theater, and I was doing theater, but it's, you know, not very easy to make a buck.
Right.
And during that time, I was also working in fine dining, and so I was always working in service. And I had an opportunity to start getting weed mailed to me from Oregon by one of my roommate's parents. And this was, I guess, in around 2004.
Wait, what?
Yeah. I'm trying to keep it thin here because I know this is a very long, detailed story.
I like the parents' part.
Yeah.
That kind of like floated in the end.
Yeah.
That
well, the
amazing.
Thing she was mailing her daughter, you know, ounces of the most beautiful flower I had ever seen. From, I mean, it was amazing.
Oh, we have our first guest. Oh, my goodness. I love it.
Oh, welcome. Come on in, guys. We're doing a little podcast with the two dummies on the couch here.
Right here. How you doing?
Yeah, come on in.
We're feeling good.
It's so cute.
Make your way in, browse about, and we'll be with you in just a second.
Remember, 259 Bowery, Mighty Lucky, one of the finest dispensaries in the city. Go.
Yeah. Yeah, so then, you know, I basically needed money.
I
mean, that's what it came down to. Needed money, and I like to serve, and I like to get people high.
Okay.
And, you know, so I started a delivery service in 2006.
Right.
That thing blew up by 2010.
Okay.
By 2017, we had about 10,000 clients, 25 people working for me. During that time also, I was arrested twice, which made me eligible for this license here at this dispensary. So it's a social equity license called the CARD license.
Got
the,
it.
Yeah.
CUARD.
That's right. Conditional Adult Use Retail Dispensary License. So basically doing that delivery service for 17 years.
Right.
They announced that, you know, they were going to legalize cannabis. This was going to be the pathway. It was going to be a social equity platform based first on letting the justice affected group go first.
Right.
I made the application. And then, you know, put my resources towards getting this place open once I got it. So, I mean, it's kind of a crazy story. Yet I've been selling weed in New York for 20 years, and I was able to open this. This was the 112th store open in the state.
What?
I think maybe the 12th or the 15th store open in the city, somewhere between 12 and 15. They were all kind of opening around 420 last year. Yeah, everybody was pushing for that date. You know, it's kind
of
like a restaurant pushing for Mother's Day. It's like,
of course,
we got to get that. That money's going to take us 4 months.
Exactly, exactly. Oh, my God, that is amazing.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Mother's Day brunch.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
War
no.
Stories.
Yeah, don't do brunch.
you took two situations and turned them into something really, really amazing. That is commendable.
I mean, honestly, I've always felt like, and people who know me will reinforce this, is that this was my destiny to do this.
Right,
like, I was
right.
always going to sell weed. And I was always going to continue to sell it, whether it was legal, not legal,
mm-hmm.
whatever the case would have been. I think really what it is, I'm just fortunate that all the things lined up exactly to work, to me to be able to actually open this place, you know?
I love that.
And really what we tried to create here is not like a weed dispensary, but I think it's more about a community center that sells weed. We
right.
sell art as well.
Right, see
and,
that?
You know, you want to make it feel as much like, we want to make it feel as much like our home as possible.
I see the plants.
Yeah.
I love it, and I love the pieces up front.
Yeah.
Those are really beautiful.
Thank you.
So I guess I want to close with this. What is your biggest goal as far as cannabis goes? It could be personal, it could be, you know, professional, it could be anything.
Yeah, I think I mean, we're destigmatizing. That's probably the first part. When people
okay.
come in here, don't haven't experienced it served in this way,
mm-hmm.
and they say, oh, you know, this is actually something that I may be able to do because now I feel like I can relate to it. You know,
right.
It's a part of something that's presented in a way now that makes it, I mean, my first client was a 75-year-old woman named Wendy who lives
Aww.
Two door downs. You know what I mean? It's not, I think the one thing she said is she's like, this is the kind of place I feel comfortable shopping in finally.
Aww.
You know, and the larger goal is to continue to expand that, but also, I think to empower just regular folks to be able to grow their own, because it can be, I mean, cannabis is expensive, you know? So when you're growing your own, you have access to really good genetics out there now. Now we're allowed to grow six plants in New York. And what I really want to do with Mighty
six.
Lucky, six, I believe. What I really want to do with this is create a center of cultivation where people can come in, buy seeds, buy clones, do, you know, potentially like a subscription base where, you know, we go into your house and we set up the grow tent for you.
What?
And then, you know, over time we trim it with you, cure it
oh
through
my
the whole process.
Gosh.
So, but that's kind of a smaller goal. I think in general, I would love to just have us. Yeah, I would love to
amazing.
Love to have about 50 stores across the country.
Welcome,
y'all.
Welcome to Mighty.
Come on
Lucky.
In.
We're doing a podcast right now.
Yeah. I'm
no
gonna
worries.
Be with you,
it's
be with
good.
You guys in just a second.
It's all good. We're just wrapping it up here, Bo.
Yeah.
I love that for you. Those
Thank
are
you.
Really these are really amazing goals that you are going to reach.
Oh, I believe it.
Oh,
yeah.
I believe it,
yeah.
And you will achieve it.
I appreciate the support.
Bo, I gotta thank you again from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for allowing us to be in this space.
Great. I hope you come back and do it again.
I hope to come back again, too. Will you have us?
Absolutely.
Oh.
Yeah,
well.
I also want to come back.
You
yeah.
want to come back, too?
You'll be here, too.
Yeah,
you'll
yeah,
be
yeah.
here, too. This is a package deal, Meg.
There's so many plants around me, and it does make me feel like I'm at home. Like,
this
literally,
here.
This is,
yeah.
like, my apartment.
What's going
great.
On? Good morning, good morning, good
morning.
Morning,
sir.
How are you doing? This is a package deal, Meg.
Yeah.
It's Meg's and Ash, or Ash and Meg's,
yeah.
whatever you call it, it's the same.
Yeah, you
so,
can't get the sandwich without the fries. So.
That's it. That is it.
That's how the combo deal works.
I love that. And now, we are about to close our very first episode of the Big Sale Sessions with the two dummies on the couch, Adrian and...
Megan.
Oh, my goodness. And thank you, Bo, again, from Mighty Lucky, 259 Bowery, Mighty Lucky. Ooh, you're going to feel so lucky when you're in here. We are out. Thank you.